further ado, let's get started. Oh, okay, shoot at the dying. So the last option that we have to discuss in terms of dealing with Mamonimut of Safek is shoot at the dying. And so far we've dealt with Yachloku. We have two people, they're fighting about it, and we split it. We had Yehemunach, where we said, you know what, we don't know what to do with it, we're just gonna confiscate it and let it sit until we find out who it belongs to. We had called Olam Gvar, right? Where it's like, you know, they fight it out sort of trial by combat, or it's simply we just don't know what to do, so we just avoid the whole issue. And each one of those three, right, really hit a certain conceptual spot, right? The idea of Yachloku is like we have two people, we don't know who it belongs to, they both have a claim to it. So let's just give each one half, right? And this way, at the very least, we gave whoever really owns it at least half of his money, or maybe they really both own it, or you know, it's kind of like stuck in between the two. Then let's split it. Okay, right. The downside is obviously that Bezdin is then giving away half to somebody who doesn't belong to potentially. On the other hand, right, it's you know, leads to the most happiness for the most number of people, and you know, it seems like a very nice way of dealing with things on a universal peace and justice, peace and happiness department, sort of perspective. We said Yehemunach makes a ton of sense, right? Because it's the same idea of saying, well, we don't know what to do with it. And we say, okay, we don't know what to do with it. We'll confiscate it. We'll hold on to it. And this way, right, the thief doesn't win, right? Disincentivizes theft. And then, right, no one gets it. But at least the thief doesn't get it. It makes it not worth it for the thief to really claim it in the first place because he's not going to get it at all. And this way, we make sure that crime doesn't pay, right? How much are we trying to help people out, and how much are we trying to make sure that crime doesn't pay? Kol Dal Gvar made sense primarily because it's saying Bezdin doesn't know what to do, and therefore Bezdin's not even going to get involved and confiscate it because if you confiscate it, then we're taking it away from the real owner. And if we confiscate it, we're actually getting involved, right? So what we do is we just back away and we ignore it. We saw in the Rush, right? The Rush explains, well, it's not only that we're walking away, it's also kind of a way of dealing with it, right? It's a tactical retreat, but a strategic advance, right? Meaning we're taking a step back and seeing how they deal with it themselves. And hopefully that will solve our problem, which is one is we would like the owner to get it. We also, right, would like the money to stop being mutav safek and for it to at least be somewhere. And whoever gets it first gets to keep it. And we saw that was a machlokas, whether or not they could keep going back and forth and back and forth, or whether or not the first person who gets it, right? And that was kind of dependent on whether or not this is some sort of strategic solution, right? By doing a tactical retreat, or it's totally a complete withdrawal, and we just don't know what to do, so we just ignore it and we just walk away. Okay, those three kind of solve, right, deal with all the different issues, right? Because from the owner's perspective, let's say Yachlok was the best. From the perspective of the Ganav, right, between Mahifsid Ramai, the best way to knas the Ganav is Yehemunach. If it's in terms of Bezdin walking away and not getting involved, we should do Kol Dal Mugvar, maybe. Right? Shud Daini is this fourth option, which doesn't seem to hit any of those notes. Right? Natan last year was very, very persistent that if we're going to do Kol Dal Olim and let them kind of like beat each other up in the streets, although we noted that you can't actually beat each other up. They can do a tug of war, but they can't actually like beat each other up because that'd be over on the Isser Lav of Lo Yosef Lakosa, that you're not allowed to actually fight with people and he'd be chayav nezikin v'chulei. So they can have a tug of war, right? But instead of having people fighting in the streets, why doesn't, and it's kind of arbitrary, so why not just have Bezdin arbitrarily assign it to someone? Okay, so that argument, right, is perhaps like, wait a second, we don't really want them all to fight it out. So maybe that's a good reason for us to shift towards something called shud d'dayin, right, where there's judicial discretion. And what is shud d'dayin? What are its parameters, and how is it working, and why would we want to do it? Okay, so the Gemara says, Shnei Shtaros Hayotz B'Yom Echad, Rav Amar Yachloku, Shmuel Amar Shuta D'Daini. Okay, you have two Shtaros, they both have the same date. Okay, so in theory, right, one of them owns it and one of them doesn't. But we have no idea which one was really produced and given first, because they both have the exact same date on them. Right? One might have been given in the morning, the Shtar Kenyan. One might have been done in the afternoon. And we just don't know which one's which, and there's no way to know which one's which, right? So Rav says they split it, because Maman with Safek. Shmuel says, no, Shuda the Daini. Okay. Says the Rashbam, what is Shuda the Daini? Okay. So says the Rashba, what is Shuda the Daini? The judge, right, uses his gut instinct and his shukaladas and his, his intellectual problem-solving skills to try to infer which one of them really the person wanted to give it to. Okay? And what's the big benefit of this? Right? On the one hand, this is an all or nothing approach. Right? Like called the Alim, that maybe the owner will actually get his stuff. But it has the advantage of being based on the shikladas of the Dayan. Right? The Dayan strokes his beard and he says, oh, I think he gave it to A. Right? Now, he's not doing it based on absolute proof. Right? So it's not really within the normal judicial functioning where we need evidence, but we're kind of using circumstantial evidence, our intuition, and hopefully the Shema Zacha Balakarka Bishala. Okay? So the advantage is clearly, right? We're using our intuition to try to figure out who really belongs to, and maybe we're really going to get it right. The downside, obviously, is that we might take it away from who it really belongs to, which is probably why we don't use this often, and because when can Beis Din really do this, right? Is Beis Din really allowed to just, use their intuition and like give it away to who they think they should give it to? Sounds a little tricky. What is a Shuda D'Daini? Shuda, Lashon Hashlacha, Yorebaya, right? Throw it into the sea. Matagamina, Shadi Biyame, toss it in, right? Chaluka, or Shuda, right? What is Shuda? The judge is like, toss it, to whoever they think. Right? It's kind of like I'm trying to think what the good word in English is, but it's like it's a toss up. Oh, right? What is a shuda de daini? It's a toss up of the dayanim. Right? It's a toss up. We don't really know who it is, but the dayanim kind of throw it to where they think it belongs. Right? But it's kind of like they're tossing it. It's a toss up. They don't really know. Okay, says Tosfos. Shuda de daini, near Rabbeinu Tam, limi sheyirza hadayan niten, velo kipir shakuntres sheyom du da'ato shel niten. Okay, now here suddenly we're just like, what? Right? According to Rashbam, everything made sense. The dayanim use their intuition in order to figure out who it belongs to. I totally understand why I'd want to do that, right? I can't always prove one way or the other, but very often you have an intuition as to who it belongs to. Is it perfect? Is it absolute? No. Right, which is why we didn't necessarily use this across the board. But the advantages of using our intuition over, yachloku, where we're giving half away to the wrong person, is understandable. And when our alternative is something like kol da'alim, right, maybe that's great. Tosfos says no, right? What's our criteria? Limi sheyirza hadayan nitan. It's whoever the dayan wants to give it to. Right? Now that's funny because you're just saying, oh, it's whatever the dayan wants. Okay, I'm just going to skip down. And Yerushalmi Amar Le'ezim Ehen Sheyirza Beis Din Lahachlit Me'achlitim Why don't you just say, okay, whoever pays me more gets to keep it? They're arguing over a field worth $1 million. So the dayan says, okay, shuda de dayani. So whoever pays me more should get it. I'm allowed to do it arbitrarily. The mishi yirtza dayan litin. A and B are both, you know, lovely fellows or horrible fellows. I don't care, right? I don't have any particular desire to give to one over the other. So I say, okay, whoever's willing to give me more of the money, I'm willing to give them the sadeh, right? I want 50%. Whichever one of you is willing to give me 50% gets the sadeh. Im tomar king litein lemishi itein oschar. Yesh lomar dechol dayanad mekabel agra lav dayanad. Because once, if you're getting paid, or if you're getting bribed, then you're not a dayan anymore. Which is very fascinating. One is just geschmack, because he's saying like, ah, you know, like you're just not a dayan, right? You're corrupt. You're, once you accept money for it, you lost your status as a dayan, and now you can't do shuta de dayan, even though it's arbitrary, right? Which is very cool. It's like a good point that like even when we're not worried, because what's the whole point of not taking bribes in theory? Right? That bribery, right, will corrupt your judgment. So even if you accept a bribe, not thinking on the, you know, amanas, not to to twist the judgment in that guy's favor, right? It's almost, it forces you to do it, right? So it's a natural product of psychology that if you're getting money to support one person's claim, even if you don't intend to, you're going to support his claim. You're going to be more inclined to accept his suit. But says Tosos, no, it's not just that. That might be why it's usher, but the point of the Torah is that once you accept a bribe, even if there's no possible corruption of justice here, because it's literally random, it's still, you're not a dayan anymore. So it's just like, cool, right? It's not only about the impact that it has, but it's also very antithetical to your status as a judge. Number two is what is Tosos assuming about shuda de dayani? In terms of like, what is it? Yeah. Okay.
It's very subjective to the judge and not really based on evidence at all.
Yes, but it's a little different. That's absolutely true. I'm asking a little bit more differently in terms of like, in all of these solutions, one of our key questions is how much, let's say, kol da'olam. Is kol da'olam a solution? Or is it simply a response or like an action that we do, but not necessarily a solution we're imposing? But just for example, chalukah, right? Chalukah, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, is not a solution that we're imposing. Right? It's a reality or an action that we're doing. Why? Because they already have half. Right? Rabbi Nachman also points that Shnayim Baruch Hashem, each one already has half. We're just acknowledging that reality. We, Beis Din, aren't coming in and splitting it. It's already split. Right? We're just acknowledging that. When it comes to Shuda de Dayani, how much is it that we're giving it to someone random, right? But it's not really like a solution being imposed by Beis Din. Let's say if it's random, we're just okay, we'll give it to one of them, and like then he'll be the other guy will be a motzi mechavero. But it's not because we're fundamentally like giving him ownership. Potential, right, parallel to like kol da'olam, if we say he doesn't go back and forth and back and forth, Beis Din isn't like paskening kol da'olam, right? And then that whoever got it, it's theirs, right? That was the Rush's point. You know, and there it's not a psak. What is it? Right, it's a tactical retreat, but it does have a strategic solution in that whoever gets it first, now the second guy's hamotzi mechaveru. So it does create like facts on the ground, even though it's not a psak of Beis Din. Shuda de dayani, you could say, is something similar. It's like kol da'olam, as Natan kept suggesting, but just without the fight. Right? Maybe you could just have kol da'olam, but instead of having them do a tug of war and let whoever stronger win. Right? Let's just do the tug of war in Beis Din and replace the physical brute force with some sort of other contest, like a popularity contest with a dayan, right? Or a bribery contest, right? So Tosos says, why can't we do that? Why can't it be a bribery contest? because then he wouldn't be a dayan, right? What that assumes, though, what does that assume about like the nature of this solution? Is it like the court is doing something, right? It's like a psak of the court, and now it belongs to this guy using like their judicial authority? Or is it simply like a call to alim, but replacing brute force with, you know, with a popularity contest? Yatila?
So I think I understand what you're saying right now. I just don't quite follow the logic behind it, or I just misunderstood the chiluk previously, because this isn't like a general tool that we're using for, you know, tidy, like, yeah, it's a tool that we're using for tidying up ambiguity, but, you know, in Kol De'alim Gvar, it's not final. Whereas here, we're kind of like imposing ownership.
First of all, in Kol De'alim Gvar, it could be final until someone brings proof, right? That was my chlokas, whether or not they could go back and forth or not.
Saying like, by default, it's in your hands. Like, if you do shoot at a dining, is it also Hamasim Echaber Alavaria afterwards? Like, it seems like you're just imposing a new ownership. Like, I've decided this belongs to this person, like, done.
So according to the Rajba, here's what I would say, right? According to the Rajba, I'm sorry, I think it's relatively clear that, you know, it's based on Bezdin's sort of general, you know, let's use the board, right? According to the Rajba, we have a shooting. According to the Rajbam, it's a Beirut, right? Which is a way of figuring out the evidence. It's evidential, right? Bezdin figures out, we intuit, who it belongs to. Right? Normally we wouldn't rely on our intuition as evidence, right? But in this case we will, because we have no other evidence, so we can use our intuition, right, to figure it out. We'll use circumstantial evidence, okay? Let's say like that. Right? Normally, we don't use circumstantial evidence. And circumstantial evidence wouldn't hold up against, let's say, someone who already has possession of the object. But once someone does have possession of the object, since no one has possession of the object, and in Shtei Shtaros, and it's Eif Shalom Mekam Alad Mosan, there's no way to ever find out who it belongs to using real evidence, right? Because the two Shtaros have the same date. So suddenly, our field of evidence allows circumstantial evidence. Because real evidence is impossible, so we can use second-tier evidence. That's the Rashbam, right? But it's all about evidence. It's about Beirut. It's about figuring out what belongs to. Then, so now we have what other option? We have another option which says it's totally it's really like Kol De'alim just with Bezdin instead, right? It's a solution. It's a solution, right? Based that says we'll just give it to someone. Not because they own it or belongs to them, or even because Bezdin has decided to give them, but because, right, we just want this to disappear. We want it to go away. It's like Kol De'alim, basically, right? It's a solution, right? It's like Kol De'alim without fighting. And in between option, right, is to say what? Is to say that it's sort of like a Hefker Bezdin Hefker, where Bezdin is giving it to him, right? Let's say, we'll call that it's a decision of Bezdin. Right, it's like Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Right, to give it to A. Right? It's not that we're letting A have it because we're just kind of dealing with the Kol De'alim in Bezdin. We're actually giving it to him. We are giving him ownership. Right? We are imposing ownership on this object and saying, this object now belongs to A. Not simply that he has it in Hamotzi, right? Right? But rather, we're actually in the corner of doing like a Hefker Bezdin, and we're giving it to him. And I think that's what Meitan is arguing. Why? What's the nafkamina of this? If there's Shochad involved, right? And therefore, Shochad, right, is posel the Sheidai. Okay? If Shochad passes you from being a Daya, then you're not a Bezdin, and you can't do Hefker Bezdin and Hefker anymore. Got that?
Someone who occupies the furthest position.
This one?
Yeah.
We'll see that in a minute. We haven't seen that
before. Okay, can I ask another question?
Yeah.
You didn't quote this part of the Tosfot, and I'm not sure I understood it because it quoted Sugya and Kiddushin that I didn't open inside. But it seemed like an interesting nafkamina between Rashi's position or Rabbeinu Tam's position is whether the case can be duplicated. Oh yeah, you did. You just didn't read it.
Yeah, it's in it, right? You have a shliach, right? Oh yeah, so you send the shliach to go and give money to someone. And then the sender dies. We have a suffix whether or not, when you say, give this money to Bob, am I asking you to...
No, I'm talking about the Kiddushin Sugya, where it says like the Mishni bolded line, like B'shuta Daini, I Kiparsha Kuntras, Akadin Harer La'amodato. Right, so if according to Rashi, yeah, you probably could have repeated the trial and gotten the same outcome, but that wouldn't work for our opinion. Is that what that means?
Yes, I will. Yeah, right. Meaning, according to the Rashbam, right? Tosfos says, wait. According to the Rashbam, you should be able to reconstruct the evidence, the circumstantial evidence that you used or that you know, to intuit who it belonged to, right? But it says the Gemara in Kiddushin says that in a case of Shuddha Dedaini, there's no way for us to figure out who it belongs to other than actually keeping a record of what the decision was. I mean, normally in a normal court case, you can find out you can remember what the Dayan said, right? But you could also go back and reconstruct the evidence from the records, right? Or, right, from just, you know, you talk to the dying and you talk to the people and they're like, oh, here's what the evidence was. There were Edim or whatever. There's a stat. In the case of Shuddha Dedaini, it's impossible to reconstruct, right, what evidence led the dying to his conclusion. Now, you could say, well, it's because it's intuition. So circumstantial evidence is circumstantial and, right? It can be understood different ways. And it's, you know, your intuition is just kind of something that you intuit and it's not always consistent, right? Your intuition facing circumstances that are fundamentally the same, right? But are being presented in different contexts or different times can be radically different, even though the actual fundamental arguments are the same. So it's not necessarily an absolute proof, but Rabbeinu Tam's point, yeah, that according to the Gemara, it seems kind of arbitrary. And there's no way to reconstruct what went into a Shuddha Dedaini Psak, so it must be that it's just whatever you want, right? It's arbitrary. Okay, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not evidence-based, right? There's no evidence, but it is a Psak of Bezdin, right? Bezdin is saying we are paskening that this belongs to Ga'a. Right, I'm adding in that it's kind of like based on Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Right, Bezdin has the power to assign ownership, even when it's not based on anything. Right, that's Hefker Bezdin Hefker. They're allowed to take money and give it to people, and that's part of their Bezdin authority. But it's a Bezdin thing that they're doing. Right, it's part of their power as Bezdin. Now, the Ramban. Right, the Tosfos mentioned the Yerushalmi. The Ramban also mentions the Yerushalmi. Perush Shuda Dedaini Lemi Sheyirtz Hadayim Yitnenu V'Chein Mefurash BeYerushalmi V'Hadayanim Machlitin Ozel L'Chol Mi Sheyirtzu V'Halashon Amor Sham Kach Shuchta Dedaini. Yerushalmi's Lashon is what is Shuda Dedaini? Shuchta Dedaini. Right, you bribe the Dayanim. Kolomar Hadayanim Osim Kol Ma Sheyirtzu. V'im ohavin ze yoter mizeh, v'bnei shehu amit b'torah u'mitzvot yitnulam, right? And if they think, oh, this guy's a Talmud Chacham, we're going to give it to him. They can do that. Right? You kind of have to like butter them up and be like, oh no, but I'm such a tzaddik, you know, you have to convince them, right? But it's not convincing them on the merits of the case. You have to convince them that you're the one who they should give it to you arbitrarily, right? Because you're a bigger tzaddik or whatever. But the lashon shochet, the dayanim is lashon guzma. Okay? You can't actually give them shochet, says the Ramban, right? But he's aware that the Yerushalmi implies that, okay? If you look at the Yerushalmi, that's what Yerushalmi says, right? Shuchta ledaini, l'shnei shtaros yetzu la l'shtei, achas ezo mehen shigir tu bezdin l'hachlet machlitin. Okay? The Yerushalmi doesn't say that there, it's only a lashon guzma. It could be that the Yerushalmi would agree, like, you shouldn't do shochad, but Rabbeinu Tam's chiddush is a chiddush, right? Pshat of the Yerushalmi is the bezdin can do it based on any arbitrarily criteria that they want. Rabbeinu Tam says, but wouldn't, if they took shochad, they'd be pasul as dayanim, and therefore it's impossible. The Ramban, or let's say the Yerushalmi, don't make that point. And I would argue that perhaps the reason why is, what's Yerushalmi saying? Shochad l'dayni, shochad l'dayni. Right? It's arbitrary. And if it's arbitrary, then maybe it's not even arbitrary based on Hefker Bezdin. Maybe it's what Natan was suggesting, which is that the solution of Kol Da'alim, this is essentially a form of Kol Da'alim. Except what? It's already in Bezdin, right? Or it's a Sadeh. So what do you do? Or the Shtaros are already here. Or according to the Rajba, it's E.F. Sharlamekam Allah Demilsa. There's no way to figure out the truth ever, right? So if there's a way to find out the truth in the future, what do? Bezdin doesn't want to get involved because it looks bad if Bezdin gave it to A and then the proof comes out that it belongs to B. So we let them fight over it until we find out, until evidence comes, right? Because maybe evidence will show up. Maybe Edom will come. So Bezdin avoids the whole thing because it looks bad if Bezdin gave it to A and then suddenly proof comes out that it really belongs to B. But in a case where that's not possible, so then what? We don't want to, it says the Yerushalmi, we don't want to do Kol Da'alim, so instead we'll do Shechta D'Daini. What is it? It's really Kol Da'alim, just instead of having them fight over it with brute force, we have them fight over it with convincing the Dayanim to give it to them. So instead of a tug of war, it's a popularity contest. Okay, so according to the Rashbam, it's about evidence. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's like an act of Bezdin. It's like Hefker Bezdin, Hefker, and it requires the authority of Bezdin. According to the Yerushalmi, it just sounds like it's a solution to Kol Da'alim that instead of happening on the street, happens in Bezdin. And exactly what Natan pointed out, I was like, why not just have the Dayanim give it to one of them rather than have them fight? And the answer is, well, if it's Efshar L'meikam Allah Denosa, if it's possible that proof will come out later, so Bezdin doesn't want to do that and then have it turn out that they did the opposite of the truth. But in a case where it's EF Sholomekam Allah Demilsa, where there's no possibility that more evidence will come out, so yeah, in Hanani, Bezdin would rather avoid people fighting it out in the streets. So Bezdin will do an arbitrary assignment of the property in Bezdin. And yeah, it's a totally arbitrary coin toss, not based on a tug of war, but on popularity. Okay, just very quickly, in terms of the interpretation of the Yerushalmi, right? Again, some of the Mefarshim of the Yerushalmi, like Korban Eda says, "L'shuchta d'dayni etamreth im rotzeh hadayan l'fsok kein harshut b'yadel v'mirtzeh yachol v'sok sheitol ha'bachov af chelek ha'bachol ra'itz," whatever the dayan wants, right? It's totally arbitrary. And he points it out, right? Because just pirashti shemutar likach shochad. Yeah, they can really actually take shochad. I mean, they can be bribed into their decision because it's a totally arbitrary decision, and the isra to take shochad is only because it corrupts their judgment, right? But here there's no judgment. It's totally arbitrary. It just, we want to avoid Kol Da'alim. Pnei Moshe says, no, right? It can't be. Rather what? Right? It's a hachra'ah, right? The dayanim have to be our machria. So I'm not sure if he thinks like the Rajbam or like Tosfos, but he's pointing out that it's not arbitrary. Or even if it is, it's a hachra'ah. It's Bezdin acting, right? It's part of Bezdin's job as Bezdin, and they're being machria, they're deciding, right? Right? They're deciding, and they're giving they're, you know, coming out with a psak that who's right or who gets it. Now, he's not so clear about whether they need to have some sort of proof or even intuition, like the Rashbam saying, or even just what Tosos is saying, is that it could be arbitrary, but it still needs to be based on their bezdin, you know, hachra'ah, they're paskening to give it to this guy in order to prevent anarchy. But it's a hachra, it's not, they can't take shochad, because if they take shochad, right, then there's not bezdin. Okay? The Rambam says, right, kol da'alam is kol she'da'atam noten lahamin tzadezu biyadov ya'amin. Okay. Sounds like from the Rambam, kol she'da'atam noten, it sounds like the Rashbam, that it's based on, it's based on our netiyah, what do we think is the truth, right? So you have that it's based on evidence, like the Rambam and the Rashbam, it's about proof. Or we have, right, the option of, no, it's like a psak, it's a way to get rid of the money. It's not based on proof at all, right? It's not about figuring out who it belongs to, but just about getting rid of the money. We have the Rashbam who said, we have the Rabbeinu Tam that it's like a psak, hefker bezin hefker. We have the Ramban that it's, whoever the Dayanim like more or think is a nicer guy, right? Because like once bezin is like giving out freebies, they might as well give it to the bigger tzaddik, right? Whoever gives more tzedakah, whoever is like does more chesed. But the Yerushalmi says, no, it's totally arbitrary, and they can even take shochad, right? Because it's arbitrary. It's just a way of dealing with kol da'alam gvar in Bezdin, and not through a fist fight. Yeah, Tehila.
I'm just wondering, going back to the Gemara, they're trying to figure out, the line we have is a little out of context, but it's a question, right? And the response that they have is like, you're going to entertain Shuta Dedaini instead of Kol Da'alam Gvar in a case where you can like make him a La Milta. So doesn't that provide some sort of context in terms of like how what the role of evidence or potential circumstantial evidence has to do here? Like how would you interpret the like what Mekam a La Milta means here?
Yeah, what I was saying with the Rashbam is that when do we accept circumstantial evidence? You can't accept circumstantial evidence in court, in like a court of law normally, because there's real evidence, right? The point of the court is to find out the truth. And there's evidence that we accept as being something that actually helps us know the truth, right? In a court, you can't just say, we think whatever, right? It has to be proven beyond the shadow of a doubt. If it's a capital case, or if it's right in a monetary case, it has to be proven, beyond what you have to, beyond a reasonable doubt, beyond the shadow, whatever. There's I forgot exactly what is a reasonable preponderance of the evidence. There are different standards of evidence, right? It's not really circumstantial evidence, right? This is really very tangential evidence, or, right? Circumstantial evidence can be good, acceptable, but this is like really, you know, really tangential, really circumstantial evidence, speculative evidence. How about this? Speculative. Put it down, speculative.
Right, so my question is that if that's the wording of the Gemara, why is that only with Mishita of the Rashbam? Like, why are that?
No, because the Gemara says that it has to be that you can't prove it, that no evidence could possibly come up later. Why does that matter? For the Rashbam, I'm arguing, it's because the playing field of Beis Din requires actual evidence, right? Speculative evidence, or speculation, or objection, Your Honor, speculation, right? So since the guy can just say, objection, Your Honor, speculation, so we always throw that out. Right? When do we not throw out objection, Your Honor, speculation? When is that going to be overruled and not sustained? When the whole court case, right, can only possibly be decided based on speculation, number one. Number two is that no one already has possession of the money, in which case there's no hamotzi mechaveiro, right? There's no status quo. There's no plaintiff and defendant, right? There's no prosecution. There are two equal people here who both are claiming a certain money that it could equally be either of theirs. And, right, it definitely doesn't belong to anybody else. And there's no way to figure out who it belongs to ever, right? So the playing field that we're in only allows for speculation, right? According to, so it doesn't allow for real evidence. I have two options. I could say it doesn't allow for real evidence, therefore I'll accept speculatory evidence. Or, that's what the Rashbam says. Or the other Rishonim are basically saying, no, it doesn't allow for any evidence. There is no evidence possible here, right? There's no such thing as speculatory evidence. Do you know what we call speculatory evidence? Speculation, right? This is not evidence, right? So the Rashbam is saying, once evidence is not relevant, right, we'll accept speculatory evidence. You know, almost as like a form of circumstantial evidence. The other reason we're saying, no, there's evidence and there's speculation. Once you're in speculation land, then it's irrelevant, right? And that has nothing to do with the courts. So does that make you feel happy? It makes you think you know what's going on? Maybe, but that doesn't change the reality that Beis Din has no ability to decide things based on speculation. And if they are going to decide based on speculation, they could also decide based on who did they like more, right? And whether they were in a good mood and whether they like the way he looks. Because those are all of equal value as speculation in a court of law, right? The Rashbam says, no, the only reason we toss out speculation is because the court of law generally deals with real evidence. But once real evidence is impossible, right, we'll accept speculation. The other reason I'm going to say speculation is not relevant, right? Speculation is arbitrary, just like actually being arbitrary, right? Which I think is actually very, I'm very, you know, sympathetic to actually both sides of this argument, because on one hand, you're like, well, why not use your intuition? On the other hand, the whole point of a court is that it's not arbitrary. It's not based on speculation. It's the whole point of a court. Going to court is to prove what actually happened or prove who it actually belongs to, right? Once the courts start accepting speculation, they're not really acting as a court anymore, right? The court of public opinion, right, which is known to be very fickle, is always based on speculation, right? That's, you know, but the actual courts are supposed to be based on evidence. And if there's no evidence, then maybe they just can't function. Yeah.
I was going to save this question for the end, but it might be more appropriate now. To what extent does this fit into the Gemara that we had about Dean versus Bitsua? Like, how are we defining Bitsua, and does it fit with Shuda Dedaini?
So, it doesn't really. It fits with the Din ala Sha'alo Bala Emes, maybe. Or more accurately, on the idea of let's say Din, Pshara, and Shalom. Because Pshara is really like Yachloku, right? It's about trying to help everyone. And Shuda Dedaini is definitely not trying to help, it's not really trying to help anyone, everybody. It might be like based on the idea of the value of Shalom, that we don't want people to be fighting out on the streets with Kol Dal Mvar, and therefore we'll impose a solution even though it's speculative.
So is Pshara about 50-50, or is Pshara about Beit Din evaluating the needs of the different parties in a case? And
according to the Rashbam, maybe you could say it's like a form of, it's like similar to Pshara, in that it's not like actually based on, you know, MS and Din, you know, but it's kind of like an amalgamation of Din and Shalom, and trying to like find some sort of middle ground. It could be, again, it's, you know, values translating into the real practical applications. So it's hard to, you know, give it like numerical values. Does Pshara mean that like you compromise, but like it's between two equal and legitimate, points. You could always say that, oh, Shara only works if you have two people who write really own it. Let's say one of them's a Ramai, there's Vade Ramai. Would Shara say that you should do Yachloku, even though there's Vade Ramai? Or no, Shara is only when it really legitimately could, be both of theirs, or both of them have a legitimate claim. We have to really define our terms a little bit more in order to get into that. I'm going to point to the Rishon HaRash. I'm just going to connect into this discussion. This is Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Chananel, Yafu Koach Hadayan, Lasos B'din Zeh, Kol Mashi Yirtza Lasos, B'lo Tam Omer Hadas. Right? He doesn't even have to have any speculation or intuition involved. V'hachinami Isa B'Yushalmi, B'vad Shiyiyya Bezdin Mumche. Right? But what? For Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Chananel, they need to be a Bezdin Mumche. D'kivan Sheba Hadin L'fnei Hadayan, V'hu Inu Yachol Levar Hadavar, Inu Rashai Limshoch Yadam Menadin, V'yarivu Habal Edinim Zem Zeh. Says what happened? Bezdin is involved. He says, why don't we do Kol Dalim? Right? Remember the Rush loved Kol Dalim. So why is the Rush saying, going to ever say shoot the Didaini? He says, because really, Bezdin would love to just avoid the whole thing. But once they get involved, right? Eino Rashai Limshoch Yadam and Adin, V'yarivu Abal Adinim Zem Zeh. They're not allowed to walk away and let them fight. Uksiv Emet Umishpat Shalom. Ahevu. Ki al yidei hamishpat yish shalom ba'olam, v'lakach nitnu koach l'dayan l'shvot v'lasot mashi yirtzeh af b'lotam v'raya kidei latet shalom ba'olam. Okay, I think this answers a little bit of Tila's question, which is, what is this? So the Rush says, really, we love Kol Da'alim because it allows Bezdin to avoid getting involved in something that they just don't know what to do about, and they don't have to do anything about. But it says the Rosh, once Bezdin's involved, right, they can't walk away and let them fight. Because their job is to latet shalom ba'olam, right, is to cause peace. So if they're just out of their depth, if they just don't have the tools to deal with it, so they'll just avoid it. And you can't fix everything, and you can say kol dalim kvar. And also Bezdin hopes, or Bezdin tries to calculate, that hopefully the truth will out. But once they are involved, they're obligated, right, to maintain peace. And therefore, they're even granted the power to give money away, right? Lishpot v'la'asot mashi yirtzeh af b'lotam v'raya. They're allowed to, right, basically like give money to someone and confiscate money in the name of kidei latet shalom ba'olam. Right? Their peacekeeping obligation or responsibility, right, allows them to do this solution, even though it's not based on evidence. And Bezdin doesn't like operating without evidence, but their job is also to create peace, right? The chen mitzinu v'gemara shenitan kolach l'dayan lasot din ke'ein pshara, right? The Rush thinks that pshara is also part of this same idea of shudid d'daini, right? That it's a way of creating peace. Kol zeh sava'arti v'herachti lehodiyah she'ein kolach l'reshus lahutzi es adin chaluk mitachat yado, shetzarich ligmor ulahashlim et adin kedei lahatil shalom ba'olam. He says, if a dayan doesn't know what to do, right, he can't just walk away in the middle and say, I don't know what to do, and it's not my problem, you guys fight. Because his job is to create peace. Which is why, because on the one hand, how can you ever do pshara? How can you ever do shudid d'daini? How can you ever do hefker bezin hefker? Right, all these things, right, go against Bezdin's MS, hat. Their drive for the truth and for justice. So the answer is their job is truth and justice, right? But their job is also lahatil shalom ba'olam, to create peace. They're also peacekeepers, right? Their job essentially is both law and order. And therefore, when law is not applicable, right, when law is impossible, so they have a responsibility to impose order. And that's exactly what Shudid D'Daini is, right? And that is why, right, the Rosh holds like Rabbeinu Tam, that they have to be Dayanim. And now they have to be Dayanim Mumchim, because what are they doing? This is not an abnegation of Din, of Bezdin. It's not Din, right? But it's Shalom being imposed by Bezdin, just like Pshara, right, requires, right, Bezdin's authority as peacekeepers, even if it's not their primary capability function of law and truth. So I hope that also answered up your question, Tila. But the Rosh really thinks that it is connected to this idea of, right, of keeping peace. They're peacekeepers. They're not just law enforcement. Okay, Shakach.